Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse number 18. It says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her son, her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus." Here is one of the gospel accounts of the birth of Jesus. And what is fascinating is the way God does things, because in the society where they were, this was actually almost a scandalous situation where Mary is now with child before they were married. They were betrothed, but they weren't married yet. And so what does that mean, they were betrothed? Because we really don't use that term too much anymore, and certainly not in the context that they used in biblical days, especially the days of Jesus. A marriage actually had multiple parts in the old Jewish custom. The first major part, was a betrothal. And we might consider a betrothal kind of like an engagement, but this was more serious. Because with a betrothal in Jewish custom, they would have a whole ceremony. There would be vows that are exchanged. There would be rings that are exchanged. And they would really be considered married at this point, in the sense that they would need a divorce to be separated. So it's very different than our typical marriage or our typical engagement nowadays. There's no legal separation that is needed if an engagement is broken. But back then, if you were betrothed, you were essentially already together. Now, they weren't living together because that was also against the rules. So the betrothal meant that you guys are going to be wed one day, but you're not wed just yet. It actually was considered a time of sanctification or a time of being set apart. And so they would live together often for up to like a year, and the bride would not know exactly when the bridegroom was coming to get her and actually marry her. But the time was somewhere in a year, and he had certain responsibilities and certain things that he had to do, like preparing the house, preparing where they were going to live. And then he would come at a time unknown to the bride to get her. And so they're in this place of betrothal. They're in that place where they're connected, but they're not married yet. And this is when Mary is found to be with child. She is found to be with child according or by the Holy Spirit. Now the thing, according to Jewish law, and you can read it in Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22, the penalties for unfaithfulness during even a betrothal is death. There really isn't too much wiggle room. There is none. The penalty for Mary being in this condition under normal circumstances would be death.
That's what Jewish law states. And so Joseph has himself quite a dilemma.
Because he loves Mary, but yet the law says this is what is to happen to her.
And isn't it fascinating the way God works?
I mean, God's ways are just not our ways. I mean, just
a fascinating way that God brought Jesus into this world. And more about that later. So obviously this situation is weighing heavily on Joseph's mind. He's thinking, this is so not what I planned.
This is so not what I planned. I'm sure he was going through like any normal groom, you know, planning, you know, thinking about what their life is going to be, preparing for what their life's going to be, you know, having in his mind a picture of how it's going to be. And then all of a sudden Mary comes and tells him, I'm having a child. Oh, and it's from the Holy Spirit.
So somewhere in Joseph's mind, he's just overwhelmed by this weighing on his mind,
so much so that, as often happens to us,
he goes to sleep and he has
dreams about it. He can't even get away from it in his dreams.
And this is where an angel comes and visits him and tells him, it's going to be okay. You should make her your wife anyway. And we get a little bit of a glimpse of who Joseph is.
He's not a reactionary person. Have you ever met those kinds of people, those reactionary? They hear something and all of a sudden they fly off the handle. They have no middle ground. They go from one extreme to the next. They get angry so fast. You know, you tell them one thing and all of a sudden they erupt.
Well, this is not the way Joseph is. He seems to be a thinking person. He's dwelling on this. He's meditating on this. He's thinking about what he should do. And even in all of this, he is still bothered in the night. And we see in verse number 19, the compassion of Joseph. I have just such a great appreciation for him. Because it says, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly.
I grew to have, as I meditated on this, I grew to have such a greater appreciation of Joseph, because he essentially was willing. He was willing to break the law. He was willing to go against the law. The law said, it's clear, this is what happens. The law says, this is the punishment for what happens to a person that does this. And he says, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have her killed. I don't want to have her put to shame. I don't want to have her, you know, dragged through. I don't want to just put her away
silently, which basically means he was thinking about divorcing her, but secretly.
Not following what the law actually states.
And it shows just such a compassion that Joseph has and had for her. It also shows what a love he had for her.
It shows that he really loved her and did not want what the law required
for her in this case. And sometimes as we ponder,
as you and I even go through our lives, sometimes we wish our decisions would be easier, don't we? Sometimes, like Joseph, we wish that there would be an easier way
or an easier thing to decide. When we have those problems that weigh on our minds, we wonder,
wouldn't it be easier? And sometimes, especially when we're trying to follow God's will, we think that everything should be easy, but often it's not. Just because we're trying to follow God's will does not guarantee that it's going to be easy. In fact, we see Joseph is in this dilemma
because he is in God's will. He doesn't know exactly how. He has to make this decision about what he will do, and it's because of the very fact that he was in God's will. Sometimes we get it wrong that, like, if we come to God and we try and get our life, everything's going to be good. It doesn't mean that that is the case at all. God will give you what you need and the grace that you need as you go through it. It doesn't mean that your life will become easy instantly. And we see that in Joseph.
We see that he has a difficult time with this. The other thing that's about Joseph is the Bible tells us that he was a just man. He was a just man.
And the Bible tells us what justice means in this case. Justice means severity. Justice means punishment. Whether we would agree with it or not, this is what the law of the land was. This was what the law of God was. But the Bible also tells us that mercy triumphs over justice. Mercy triumphs over justice. And we see that in Joseph.
We see that his compassion and his mercy triumphs over justice.
The law says do this, and he says, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that because I love her too much. The law says this is what she deserves, and his mercy says, no, I can't do that. I can't give what the law says she should have. I'm going to do something different. Something much more merciful. And in a sense, it's a type of Christ. Because all of us are guilty of sin. All of us are. The Bible makes it clear no one has lived up to God's standard.
And the Bible also is clear that the punishment for sin is death.
But then Jesus comes. Then Jesus steps in. And like Joseph, mercy triumphs over justice. Mercy triumphs over justice. And just like Joseph says, I can't let her have the punishment that she deserves, Christ comes in and says, I can't let them have the punishment that they deserve.
And Christ takes it a step further and says, I'll take their punishment so that they can go free.
Joseph has that Christ-like quality in him where mercy steps in and triumphs over justice. Thank God that we're not given what we deserve, but that we're given the mercy
of Jesus Christ. And he has paid the price for us.
This is the amazing thing about the birth, death, and life of Christ. Is that there was a reason. And the reason was,
as this passage says, that he came as to pay the price for sin. He will save his people from their sins. Because our sins come with a price.
Someone has to pay that price. And Jesus did pay that price.
And so we could learn from this because we often face the dilemma of how we should respond.
Should it be justice when we're wronged? We know that people, they deserve
what they get. They deserve
to be treated. They deserve to have what happens to them. They deserve this. But then mercy steps in and says, even though they deserve it, I'm not going to give it to them. Even though they deserve to have some consequences, repercussions, justice says, do it. Mercy says, don't do it. And when we're on the other side of that equation, we always want mercy given to us. We want mercy for us, but justice for others. That seems to be human nature. Justice for all of them, mercy for me. But the Bible tells us that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And isn't it interesting that as God is about to bring his son into the world, he lines up a guy like Joseph to be the father. He doesn't line up a guy that's hot-headed, angry-tempered, fly off the handle. He doesn't bring
a person that has all those issues and all those personality characteristics
to be the father. He brings Joseph, a man that's a just man, a man that's a merciful man, a man that is needed for the job because many others would not react this way. And what that tells me is that if you're in the middle of a situation, God has you there because he knows what he's put in you. He knows the character that he's giving. He knows who you are and you can handle it. Now, I'm not talking about those who get ourselves into messes, because there's plenty of people in that case where they don't follow God, and then now God lets you follow your ways if you want to. God lets you make your own decisions. There's nothing that says that you must follow God's plan. You can make your own decisions, and if you do make your own decisions, very often you have to deal with the ramifications of the decisions that you make. God lets you do that. But now Joseph is in a place where he's trying to do what's right. He's doing what's right. He's selected for the job. And God has given him the nature and the grace that he needs to do the job. He's given him everything that he needs so that he can do what God has called him to do. And that's the way God deals with us as well. If you're in the middle of something and you're wondering, well, how can I get through it? Maybe there's sleepless nights for you. Maybe there's restless nights. Maybe there's these weights upon your head that you just don't know what to do. Well, God is with you during those times if you lean heavy on him. Learn to lean heavy on God. God knows the person that we are, the people that we are, and he gives us what we can handle. Just like he gave Joseph what he could handle. He picked him for that job. Now, above all this, there's a theme in here which goes along with a verse in Isaiah 55 which says, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. It says, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are God's thoughts above our thoughts, and his ways above our ways. Because we see throughout the life of Jesus that God often does the unexpected. He often operates in the very places that we would not expect him to operate in. He often does the very things that we would expect him not to do. The unexpected seems to be very comfortable for our God. And we see that in the birth of Jesus, and we see that throughout the rest of his life as well. He seems to just do what's unexpected so many times. And the reason that that's important is because often in our life, we struggle with the unexpected. We think, well, I shouldn't have been here. What is God doing in my life? I'm trying to follow God's will, but yet all these things happen, and I don't understand why they're happening. These are all unexpected. And I'm here to tell you that the Bible is full of examples just like that. Full of examples just like this, where the unexpected is happening, even when we're trying to follow God's will and God's way in every way possible.
We see it throughout the life of Jesus, from the birth to the death to the resurrection of Jesus. We see this.
Mary, it was unexpected. She did not expect to be a with child from the Holy Spirit. She did not expect, but yet God, that was God's plan.
Joseph, he did not expect to have to make these decisions.
He expected something completely different from his life. But it was God's plan that he is there. Unexpected.
Joseph did not expect to have to run away from a mad king who wanted to kill all the babies that were 2 years and younger. He did not expect to move to Egypt. He did not expect any of that. But yet that was all in God's plan.
The unexpected was in God's plan. When Jesus was 12 years old,
he was found. He did not travel back to his homeland
with his parents. And his parents found him 3 days later. Unexpected. They found him in the temple discussing things with lawyers and all the educated people of the day. Unexpected.
But yet Jesus answered and said, I'm about my Father's business.
God's will, often unexpected
to us. We fast forward to when Jesus began his ministry and people were beginning to see him as the Messiah.
And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? What he's basically saying is, I don't expect the Messiah to come from Nazareth.
But yet that's exactly where God had him come from.
When Jesus started performing miracles in his ministry, he would often tell people, shh, don't tell anybody. But those around him expected him to grow his fame. They expected him to become more popular. They expected him to rise up and be king, but it wasn't God's plan. But all his disciples, they thought
it was his plan, that he should. It was unexpected.
Jesus then, it was not expected that Jesus would sit with those that were sinners and tax collectors. It was expected that he would hobnob with the elite. But instead, Jesus rebuked those that were most notable and he hung around with those that were most sinful.
He did the exact opposite of what people expected. He healed on the Sabbath day. No one wanted him to do that. Everyone
expected him to do something different, but he healed on the Sabbath day.
He walked on water. His disciples didn't expect that. He talked to the woman at the well, breaking cultural barriers. He did all these kinds of things.
He was led as the lamb before the slaughter, and everybody thought he should defend himself. Everybody, even those that were on trial, they were putting him on trial, were amazed that he didn't defend himself. They expected him to do something, but it wasn't God's will for him to do it. And then he comes in at his birth. We go back to his birth. And they expected pomp and circumstance of a king. They would know the Messiah by all the
circumstances and who he was. It would be clear
who he was. But he comes as a little baby. And not only just as a little baby, he comes in a scandalous circumstance. Because this is the way he operates.
But one day he will come as we expect.
One day he will come as we expect. He will come breaking through the clouds. He will come on that white horse. He will come as that king. That day is coming soon.
And I would say be ready for it. Be ready for that day because it's coming soon.
We are definitely in those last days. Look around. Look at the news. Look at the
headlines. Look all over. That day is coming soon.
And when Jesus went to the cross, they expected him to come down. They said, if he's the Messiah, he'll come down. If he's the Messiah, he'll get down from there. But in fact, that was his very purpose, that he would stay on that cross, that he would bear the sins of many. It was his very purpose to be there, and people did not see it. They did not expect him to resurrect from the dead, but he did.
They did. They expected his influence to end
when they killed him, but here we are 2,000 years later, and his influence is even greater than ever.
Across the world, his influence is great now.
And I say all of this to let you know that if you're in a place where you didn't expect to be, you might be exactly where God wants you. You might be in a place exactly where God wants you because God seems to operate in a place that is unexpected. God seems to operate in a place that is unexpected. We're the ones who have the expectations. We're the ones who think that things should be a certain way. I didn't expect my life to turn out this way. I expected to have this job. I expected to have more money. I expected to have a house. I expected to have this and that, this relationally. I expected to have all kinds of things, but they're not there even though I'm trying to follow God. I'm saying that many times this is exactly the way God works. Just because you don't get or you haven't gotten what you've expected does not mean that God is not at work. God could still be very much at work, just as he was an example after example. I've just named a few. We could go throughout Jesus' life and find many, many more examples of the unexpected being God's will. You can see
yourself and say,
I didn't expect this part of me to fail. I didn't expect this part of me to crumble. I didn't expect to have to change directions here. I didn't expect this sickness. I didn't expect this person to pass. I didn't expect all these things. And God says, I have the grace for you. God says, I have the grace for you. I know who you are. I knew Joseph when I asked him to do something. I know who you are as well.
I have you, just lean hard on him and he will get you through it. It doesn't mean that life will be all great and dandy and all your problems will go away. It means that God will give you the grace that you need because he operates in places that are not expected. When we don't understand, we can still believe that God is at work. When we don't understand, when we acknowledge that his ways are higher than our ways, that verse basically means I won't get it all the time. And thank God we have a God that is greater than what we can understand. I don't want a God who is just as smart as me. I want a God that is way beyond me. His thoughts should be way beyond mine. That means I'm not going to get him sometimes, but I'm going to trust him. I'm not going to understand him sometimes, but I'm going to trust him. He needs to be much smarter than me because I'm not that bright. So he needs to be much smarter than me. Have you ever worked with somebody who is just so much smarter than you? And they seem to handle problems so differently. They think so differently. We appreciate those people in times of trouble. And God is that beyond our imagination. He is that beyond our imagination. He is so much higher, so much greater, so much smarter. So his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. And he will give you the grace that you need for all the unexpected things in your life. That's the way he operates. That's the way he operated in the Bible. That's the way he still operates today. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange that you might be in a place which you never expected to be. Because God still has a way of taking whatever that circumstance, even if you got there because of your own decisions and your own mistakes and your own things, God still has a way of bringing you back into his plan. He could do that no matter where we are, no matter what we've done. His grace is sufficient. His mercy is incredible. And he is a loving God who cares for us. In his name be praised.